As protests over Hong Kong's controversial extradition laws continue to reach fever pitch, a young, tech-savvy and democratically minded generation of Hong Kongers are taking the fight to the halls of power. On July 1, hundreds of protesters stormed the city-state's Legislative Assembly in a show of physicality unheard of under China's sovereign umbrella since Tiananmen Square. Max Tillman asked Professor Bing Ling from the University of Sydney what the future of Hong Kong's leadership could be when the dust settles.
In Hong Kong, this was unprecedented. This never happened. I think the last time it happened was back in 1967, when there was violent protests against the British colonial rule. But for the last 50 years, this was never seen. So it is an escalation of violence as a result of the protests in the past several weeks.
Frustration was a key factor in... Is it rare for a population, obviously living within the umbrella of China, knowing full well, with examples obviously most famously Tiananmen Square, the way that civil dissent has a precedent of being put down by physical violence? Is this something that happened organically, or do you think that this was a concerted effort by protesters to storm the Legislative Council?
Well, the protests have been happening in Hong Kong for many years, since the 1997 handover of Hong Kong to China. Every year you would have protests of various scales against various government policies. And the last time a major protest broke out was in 2013, the so-called Umbrella Movement. It's part of the civil society in Hong Kong for many years. I mean, even Hong Kong is part of China. The Chinese law and the Chinese police cannot directly operate in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is governed by its own government and its own police force. So in that sense, the protesters, the people in Hong Kong, have a degree of protection that mainland Chinese do not enjoy.
Within Hong Kong's democratic system and within the Legislative Council, are there clear divisions between those who support Beijing, those who remain within the middle, and those who are more democratically inclined? Or is it hard to pinpoint different factions?
The political factions in Hong Kong are actually quite a clear-cut. There's a pro-democracy camp. There is the pro-government faction. And then there's the middle business-oriented political groups. You will have different forces that are at play. Now, if Carrie Lam should step down before her term expires, under the Constitution, it would be someone from the government that Beijing was going to would be picking. It would probably be the chief secretary or the finance secretary from the current government, who both of whom are actually very close to Beijing.
Particularly speaking of Carrie Lam, she became Hong Kong's leader in 2017. Now, her approval rating has dropped from 63% now, as it stands at the moment, down to 32.8%.
Yeah.
Now, that's obviously an enormous loss of popularity. But is this unprecedented in Hong Kong that a democratic leader, and obviously a democratic leader who has the support of Beijing, has received such a clear indication of discontent?
I think there is little doubt that Carrie Lam would not have the second term. Whether she would be able to finish her first term is also very much in doubt. Now, this kind of protest at this scale, if it happened in China, the leader of that province, the party secretary or the governor of the province, probably would be held accountable by the Central Communist Party Committee. This is a clear showing of the kind of incompetence and the kind of arrogance that the government has exhibited.
Professor Bing Ling, Professor of Chinese Law at the University of Sydney, ending that report by Max Tillman.